If you want it done right, you don't have to do it yourself. The Power of Effective Delegation. Author, Donna M. Jennett. John Jones Jr. and John James Jr. weren't typical cousins. The two John Jr.'s arrived on the same day, in the same hospital. The cousins looked and acted like twins. They took jobs in the same company and mortgages on houses on the same block. What's more, they both did their jobs well. Things were looking good. Until Jones and James were both promoted into management. You see, Jones consistently left home after a healthy breakfast and returned in time for dinner with his family. James often skipped breakfast in order to get to the office a little bit earlier. When he got home, depending on how deep things were piled in his inbox. At work, Jones always seemed to be chatting and laughing with people on his team, and he was involved in several company and community events. Everyone in Jones' department seemed relaxed and cheerful. Sadly, James's department was getting farther and farther behind. They weren't meeting their goals. James's boss was worried and vigilant. His employees were restless and grumbling, and his family was, well, restless and grumbling too. His boss said he should delegate more. Yet every time James tried to pass some of his burden along to others, he ended up with more work to do, not less. James had always believed that if you want it done right, you have to do it yourself. But now, what happens when you can't do it all yourself? James enrolls in effective delegation. James figured the best place to start solving this particular problem was to talk to Jones. "What's your secret? How do you manage?" James asked. "My team and I pretty much share the workload evenly. I evaluate my team members' individual strengths and opportunities, and I consider their interests and personal goals too. We talk about these things one-on-one, and I try to divide up the work accordingly. I delegate," Jones answered. James worried that when you gave people work, they would mess it up. But Jones explained that you had to be as specific as possible when delegating a task to someone. So James explained clearly what he wanted each of his employees to do and what the results should be. And after he explained each task, he asked the employee to paraphrase back what he or she had heard. Time for step 2. As the time progressed, a fundamental problem became obvious to James. People weren't getting their tasks done on time. It was time to talk to Jones. James explained his problem to Jones, who shared his own experience with James. "I gave the Simpson project to Jennifer, one of my employees. The Simpson project was important and very time sensitive. I delegated it to Jen because I was sure she could handle it. I was clear about my expectations. I asked her to paraphrase what I had said back to me, and we both thought we were on track. By late the next day, I hadn't heard from her. I called her into my office. I said I was sure she'd have finished the task in a day, two at most. I repeated that I was very disappointed. I reminded her that the project was time sensitive. She said, as a matter of fact, I didn't know, you never told me it was time sensitive, and you didn't give me a due date or deadline. Were you expecting me to read your mind? Her so-called failure was really my failure to clearly communicate my expectations." Back in his office, James established timeframes for each task and talked again with each employee, clarifying deadlines. He was shocked that not one had realized time was of the essence. James defines authority. The next time James went to Jones in his office, he shouted, "I don't get it." He began before he even sat down. "Tell me where I went wrong. I clearly outlined a task to one of my employees called Josh. I told him the time frame within which we had to have it done. He paraphrased back to me what I had said. And he had it right, okay? But Josh went way beyond the bounds of what I had assigned. He made a decision he didn't have the authority to make. Mistakes happen," Jones said. "In this case, no harm done, right? And seriously, the same thing happened to me. As I delegated more to Jennifer, she continued to do great work and seemed motivated to keep expanding her responsibilities. It wasn't long before I gave her a sizable project, more complex than those she'd ever handled before. When I explained it to her, she seemed to understand everything I said. When she came to me with the result, I almost fell out of my chair. She had made commitments that she had no authority to make and involved people who shouldn't have been involved. I asked why she made those unauthorized commitments and involved those people without checking with me. She said, based on what I had told her, that she had the distinct impression that this was her project from beginning to end, and that she was to do whatever was necessary to make it happen. I disagreed. But what could I say? Once again, she was right. This time, I had failed to be clear about her level of authority in carrying out the assignment," Jones explained. Another misstep. 2 weeks later, as James was beginning to feel that he had it all figured out, another problem surfaced. This time it was Jessica. Her project involved many steps over a period of time, and she believed she had paid careful attention to all of them. But when James looked at the end result, he felt almost sick. He needed to consult with Jones. He was surprised by his attitude shift. Before, James was trying to figure out what he had done wrong this time. He was surprised by his attitude shift. Before, he would have been trying to figure out why the employee blew it. Now he was asking himself whether he had once again failed to be clear. Well, I delegated this major project to Jessica. I thought she could handle it, but what she came back with won't do, James said. Hold on, Jones said. Jessica can handle it. She probably just needs more guidance. The system of delegation provides a built-in process for developing people, coaching, and mentoring them, Jones explained. When a task or project becomes larger and more complex, it's important to build in checkpoints. They help you make sure things are going in the right direction. The checkpoints should be close together in the beginning of the project. Later, after the person demonstrates competence and shows he or she is headed down the right track, the checkpoints can be spaced further apart. When the employee has completed whatever job you've delegated, always have a debriefing. I debrief on three things: what went well, what could be improved, and what we learned. I ask for an impression on each point, and I share mine. It shifts me from boss to coaching mode. I want to identify areas for growth, reinforce growth that has already happened, and applaud success. James made a list of all the perks he'd gotten from becoming an effective delegator. Gives me more time. Helps me focus on what's most important. Allows my people to grow in capability and confidence. Allows me to develop, coach, and mentor my people. Ensures successful results.